You may be seated. Can I have a little bit? I just can't hear myself at all. Can I have a little bit of whatever that needs to be? Awesome. Thanks, guys. You can take your seats too. I just want to, that's great. That's awesome. Thanks. Just wanted to say a big thank you to all our team while we've been away these last 3 weeks. Have they been okay? Well, Andrea's, but she wasn't here. Does anyone else really think the team's done all right without us? Still a bit half-hearted. They deserve a much better round of applause. Come on. Now, don't go to sleep on me. I'm not one of those kind of preachers, you know that. But before I get to that, can we just give a big round of applause to Emma, who's held the fort so well for us. Katie's out with the kids. Well, she's obviously working, so that's good. We want her to work for your pay. we're just so grateful to Andrew and I. So grateful to be back with you, and we love Africa. And to all the West Africans, give me a wave. Who's originally from West Africa? Finda, you're here. My, yes, Pastor. See, I'm you. I love that. Now, everyone in church, from now on, it's yes, Pastor. Whenever I ask you something, yes, Pastor. Is that all right? Yeah. We can all be African. We can all be a little bit African. And as James, my good friend up the back there, let's look at his African Sierra Leone shirt, or what's it called? No, Liberian shirt on this morning. My apologies. And I didn't realise this, they all have their own shirts. So I have a Ghanaian shirt as well, which I happen to wear in Liberia. Pastor Collie was not that happy because I had my Ghanaian shirt on and not my Liberian shirt. But, you know, what you don't know, well, never mind. Anyway, you know, Pastor Commander, he's such a good man. That's your old pastor, right? So Finda has came from Sierra Leone and said, look, you should, I think, talk to Pastor Andrea. And the good news on that is that Pastor Commander, not knowing this in the first place, he made his own way down to Liberia in the middle of the wet season. I don't know if Barry shared you this or not from last week, but I thought, okay, he's just going to have one church, and normally churches in West Africa are a reasonable, you know, 70 people is a good number. And he comes to me and he says, I have three locations, Pastor. And I went, what? And he has one, two, three churches, and I think he's got about 150 members already, and he's so looking forward. He couldn't wait to actually say, Pastor, can I go on probation with C3 Church? And I said, okay. No, and because he'd already had a relationship with Pastor Collie over this last year. And so isn't that good news? So we've grown from, we actually lost one church. It happens. Who knows that even in Perth we lose churches occasionally. But we lost one church in West Africa because the United States of America decided they liked them better than us. So we said, well, you can have them. And so we have four churches going really well in Liberia and three churches now in Sierra Leone. And Barry's probably already got a headache. Who's glad we've got Barry on staff? we may end up adopting Benin as well. Now, Benin is another country, small country outside of Ghana. It's about 3 hours' drive away. And that pastor, I really liked him. He had a really good spirit. And he also has three locations. So if that's the case, we could end up with 10 churches in West Africa, all from C3 Frio. Come on, give yourselves a pat on the back. So good. And to everyone that's served or part of our church, you can be very proud of yourselves. But let's give God all the glory right now. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Have I missed anything? Pastor Andrea, Emma? Yes, it's this, right. Yeah, that's right. Interesting. We are 30 years married on Tuesday, and we're spending it with you for our volunteers' party. Hey, once you've got to 30 years of marriage, does it really matter anymore? It matters more. Yeah, yeah. So we're looking forward to spending that with you. Thank you, Katie, for allowing me to dress up in whatever I like on that day, wherever you are. I might just take this cap off, have a drink. Come with me to Philippians chapter 3. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are an incredible God. Lord, I thank you for our church home. I thank you for our great people here and at Wellart. I thank you for what you've given us. And I pray, Lord, over every single person today that your word would impact their lives. I pray, Lord, that those things that they've been thinking about, Lord, that they would first consult you, that we may not only be a witness, Father, to those around us, but to those outside us as well that don't know you yet, that we may be an encouraging people, but a people that also understand who we are. And that nothing would stop us from having a relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I want to talk to you today about one thing I do. Turn to your neighbour and say, there's one thing you must do. One thing I do. All right, now in Philippians, this is the New King James Version. Just get my Bible organised. All right, here we go. We're almost into November. The year's almost over. And so what I want to do in the next few weeks, and Pastor Andrea will continue this next week, if you didn't realise this, is one thing you do is my message, but the whole next 3 or 4 weeks is going to be on finishing well. Who knows, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. That's really important in life. And so I want to talk about this, and our overall theme this year has been making room. And so let me go over some things that just to recapture our year, if you like. Firstly, each and every one of us cannot forget about this area, a daily time of focused personal communion with God. How often? A daily time of personal, focused. Everyone say the word focus. That's what I want to share with you today. But let's just recap on this year. A daily time of personal communion, most important. So what does that entail? It means that you are praying or having conversation with God on your own, with Him. It means that you are personally reading your Bible. It could be on your phone. I don't mind as long as we're reading our word, right? God doesn't care. Just making that clear for all those, anyone over 50, it's okay if they read, young people read it off their phone. We're glad they're reading their Bible. Be a participant. This is thirdly. Be a participant and not a spectator in the community of God. So we're not part of C3 Fremantle. Simply here to, we're not religious. We're not just turning up and then going on our doing our own life and forgetting about God till the following Sunday. We are participants in the kingdom of God. And so that means that we make room for Him financially. Everyone say, make room for Him financially. I cannot underestimate the power of this in our lives. That we have a culture that is generous. And the sooner we capture that generosity as part of the... Who's anyone glad for their salvation? We have a benevolent God. We will never be able to outdo Him. And so when guest speakers come, who enjoyed Lynette Tobin last weekend? Was she okay? She's more than okay, right? Lynette Tobin, amazing lady. Did David make it to church? He made it to Wellard. He loves Wellard. Yeah, he likes Wellard. So, you know, just, I love supporting people like that, that their whole ministry depends on. That's how they make their income. And so I think part of being generous is not just bringing, who knows, our tithes and offerings are the most important thing. And then our vision for our local church. Who knows that when you're locked into a local church, you give according to the vision of that church. And so that means our, well, you've just seen on the screen, but it's leaping to spring. It's not just Africa. Any Filipinos in church today? Give me a shout. Filipinos? Oh, quite a lot. We love the Philippines, right? And so there's another trip coming up in 2018, and we've got involved in so many areas. So we are generous with our giving. Who wants to see this building stay like it is or even improved? And so we give to our story, our future, our building fund, because we want to see the house not only established but thriving. And so, well, look at this. This is very clever. Is that you, Dave? Let's give Dave a hand. Isn't he awesome? All right. Philippians 3:14. Let me move on. What are we? One thing I do. Philippians 3. All right, I'm going to go from verse 12 just because I'm only reading a few verses this morning. I thought we'd finish, by the way, Acts. We've gone halfway through the book of Acts. And so we may even put out a survey. Who liked Acts? We've still got another half to go. We've just got to decide whether we want to finish it next year or do something else. So I'm kind of leaning towards let's keep going, but we'll see. We'll do the survey. All right, here we go. Verse 12. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected. Who knows that no one's perfected? Well, if you think you are, just look at yourself again. Or ask your wife. Or your friend. But I press on. But I what? That I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. Let's say it together. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Okay. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul is using athletic imagery. Has anyone been in a race? Have we all been in a race at some stage, even if we are like the worst runner in our class when we were back at school? And what's the goal? To finish. Well, it's to win, actually, isn't it? It's to finish and win, if you can. But, you know, not everyone can win. It's a bit unfair, isn't it, human thinking? But anyhow, that's the way it is. And, you know, I was actually the captain of green in Scarborough Primary School. Apparently I had the longest legs and was the fastest runner, and that's all that mattered, so I became the captain. And, you know, it's one of those things. But what I'm saying is Paul is using Greek imagery because they were into games. And so he's trying to get their attention on this. And so they had these athletic games, a little bit different to our games because, you know, they often killed people in their games. So not like Australian games. But anyhow, well, unless you go fighting kangaroos, then maybe it's up, you know. Anyhow, Paul is focused on one thing. Everyone say one thing. Knowing Christ's resurrection power and dwelling in him, not only for this age, but for the age to come. Knowing Christ's resurrection power. Now, if you're honest with yourself here today, are you knowing Christ's resurrection power on a daily basis? Because this is what Paul is talking about, actually. What really matters is the prize of the high calling of God. Does everyone understand what I'm saying? I'm saying that the most important thing we do in life, and I think that every one of us should go to work. Who's glad that we need to go to work? At least we're doing something constructive with our lives. But the end goal of that work, in some respect, has to do with not only looking after our family and our own needs, because who knows when we look after our own family and our own needs, that when we then we can actually help others as well. But through the purpose of God in our life, there is a higher calling associated with all that we are doing in this life. And so we have to ensure that that higher calling is meeting up with what we are doing or change. And so when we live in Christ's resurrection power, is anyone glad that we can sing to God, and when we praise Him, we can sense the power of God on our life? See, it's resurrection power. Turn to your neighbour and say, you need a heart replant, change today, a heart change. You need a heart change. You see, a lot of Paul's writings, this is really interesting, a lot of Paul's writings come from being in prison. He's in prison and he's writing this epistle, this letter. Who's had some tough times this year? Quite a few. Be honest, everyone has tough times. Maybe this year's been a great year. God bless you. I look forward to one of those. You know, your tough times may create the most creative and productive times for your future. Now, it depends on whether you're sticking with your high calling or moving off because you think, well, God's not helping me, I'll try something else. See, sometimes just doing the right thing during the tough or tempting times. Who's ever been tempted here? Oh, yeah. You see, when the tough times come and we hold on to the values of God, when the tough times come and we continue to pray, when the tough times come and we continue to read the Word of God, when the tough times come and we don't know what else to do, but we say, oh Lord, and look up rather than down or try and do it our way, we know that God is going to take control and He will change our situation. It may not be tomorrow, but it is going to happen. That's the Word of God. That's the Word of God, church. All right, so like Paul, we learn through our difficult times to grow up. We mature. And things are sometimes not that bright if we're honest with ourselves in life. And things are out of our control. But that's how we become our best. Through allowing the love and develop our relationship with Jesus so that we become the best we can be in Him. So who's ready to make more room for God? Yeah. And continue to make room for Him. He will get you through. No one else is going, as much as your friend is a good helpmeet, no one is going to help you as much as Jesus in your life. Jesus will get you through. He's going to do it. And so let's be enduring people. This is what Paul's talking about. Be an enduring person. Who's ever run a marathon? No one? We got a really unfit church here. Here we are. I have. Who's ever run a marathon apart from me? Charlie? Oh, God, quite a few people. Oh, good, good. I'm glad I'm not alone. What about you, young man, cross country? No? Seriously, how do you keep so fit? African physique, it does my head in, I tell you. Anyway, another story. You know, I get halfway through a 1500 metre run and I'm exhausted. I'm good up top, but downstairs, not so good. You know, and you can't get enough air in your lungs. But when you finish, it's like, I don't care where I end up in the actual race. I've finished. Yeah. I'm happy. And I collapse. You see, this is where I'm at here. But one thing I do. This is my first point. But one thing I do. But one thing I do. Say it with me. But one thing I do. Philippians 3:13, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Paul is describing that as Christians, we have to have a one thing life. But one thing I do. Say it one more time with me. But one thing I. One thing I. When you and I are drawn by the powerful impulsion of a personal relationship, who knows that it's actually a powerful relationship with God? Some of us. Okay, let's move on. Jesus, we are equipped to leave the past behind. Because of Christ, we are equipped to leave the past where? Behind us. One thing I do, forgetting the... See, the problem, however, is that many of us become distracted. Who here is always 100% focused on what they need to do? No one, right? It's too hard. But we become equipped to leave the past behind. And so we get distracted. And if unattended, if we allow the distractions to cause our faith to wane... See, your relationship with Jesus will progressively have a smaller part in your life through distractions. We live in a world with a lot of distractions. Some of you are on Facebook right now. If you are, well, I can't force you to turn it off, but hey, pretend you're taking notes at least. All right, WhatsApp. Instagram, emails, all kinds of social media. My wife always tells me off because it's a smartphone, but it's a smart person that uses it well. I'm going to give you a couple of statistics on mobile phones. I'm sure you're all really looking forward to this. See, the Courier Mail in Queensland, in a recent article, wrote, "The tragic insights have emerged as new figures show mobile phone calls and texting and things related were responsible for more than 270 fatal car crashes in Queensland. It has joined the fatal four of speeding, drink driving, fatigue and not wearing seatbelts." Here's an even more encouraging statistic. Truck accidents are even higher. In some states, over 50% of accidents are caused by mobile phones being used by truck drivers for calls, texting, and using their GPS on their phone. Now, just a little insight from your pastor. There's a $400 fine in Western Australia for using a mobile device not mounted, and immediately 3 demerit points. Whose can afford $400? Who would not rather not? So don't be on your phone while you're driving. There you go. For any policeman in church, I've done my job. Okay, distraction is a major problem in our world today. What is one of the, let me be honest here, what's one of the first things you do when you wake up? Drink coffee. Who be honest, who looks at their mobile phone? Quite a lot of people, I bet. Right? You look at your phone. What's one of the last things you do when you go to bed? Look at your phone. The smartphone is not good for your health. It dings, it vibrates, it notifies you, even sings to you if you want it to. There are a number of things in our lives that seem urgent, but they are not important. There's one now. And it's from a guy who's over 50. But they are not important at all. There are some things that seem urgent. Come on, let's be honest here. There are some things that seem urgent, but they're actually not important at all. When your life is dominated by the urgent but not the important, you will not be living your best life. Your mind is not attuned to the right things. Who'd like to be attuned to the right things rather than those things that seem urgent? Okay, so whilst we are distracted, our minds will never be fully on what we need to be on at that time. Now, all the men understand this because we can't multitask that well. Well, some of us can actually, but, you know, it's not about being busy or being seemingly busy. It's about our focus on those things that matter the most, those things concerning the upward call of God on our lives. And so keep your eyes on the course that God has for you. I remember some years ago going on holiday with Andrea, my lovely wife of 30 years. And unbeknownst to this person that was ringing on the other end, but the problem was it was the first day of our holidays and we are down south. I don't even know if I'd had my first surf or not, can't remember. But the phone rings in the car. It was like one of the first times, you know, I'd had the phone connected through the car. And just an automatic response, silly me now, picked up the telephone, and it's an old staff member who didn't realise I was on holidays saying that they were leaving the church. Did I need to pick up that phone call right there and then? Can you imagine how my wife actually reacted when she realised that it was a work-related matter? Now, and so straight away, what am I thinking about? I'm supposed to be on leave. I'm thinking about how am I going to resolve this situation? Who's going to fill that spot where they were serving? And the thing is, was that call urgent? Not at all. I could have waited. And there are things in our lives where we actually get totally distracted by things that are not important in the scheme of things, and they are not helping us to do the main things well. And so here's the thing. We want to be doing the things that God has called us to do and make sure that we have protection areas around our life and things that are, you know what? Ask the question, do I need to answer that phone call right now? Especially if you're on holidays. Maybe switch your phone off altogether. We have a rule in our house that at dinner time, sometimes it gets broken, I must admit, but most of the time we don't allow our mobile phones at the dinner table because how do you have family time if the mobile phone's constantly on? Have you ever been in a restaurant where there's two people sitting in a restaurant and like you can tell they're a young couple and rather than talking to one another, they're actually on their Facebook looking at, who's ever seen that? I mean, I'm thinking these guys are they forming a relationship with their mobile phone? Obviously. Oh, I love you. You're so awesome. Let me. Oh, I just. You could be pretending to take notes right now. You see, there's certain things in our life that can wait. Isn't the Word of God really important to our lives? It's 1 hour and a half maximum normally at C3 Frio. Is anyone glad about that? Yeah. Anyone who's been to Africa, woohoo! We did our church service in Liberia in 1 hour and a half because Andrea and I were like militants. And they thanked us afterwards. Thank you for showing us how to do church well. Isn't that worth something, all the Africans in church? All right, so when you are distracted, the Word will not impact you as it needs to. The issue is that the more that you're distracted, it probably won't become the one thing. It won't be the main thing anymore. And if you're the kind of person distracted by money and work every time there's a church service, you are not sticking to the main thing. I want to ask a question. Can God provide for you while you're in church for an hour and a half? Can God provide for you because you turn up to a volunteers meeting on Tuesday night? Can God provide for you because you have a day off in your week because you know that you are going to be more focused for the rest of your week? You see, it's not about how much we work. It's about working smart and allowing God into our lives. And if God is our creator God, and if God is actually in control of our lives, then surely he can bring the right work to us because we're in the right frame of mind to receive from him. Focus is a very important part of our Christian life. And Jesus was focused on us. Is anyone glad about that? But one thing I do, concentrate on the path. The path is more important than our achievements in this life. Secondly, all right, so one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Secondly, create space in your world. Turn to your neighbour and say, create space in your world. See, God has given you a call, and that call doesn't just happen. Who knows that, you know, okay, I've become a Christian now, boom, call of God on my life. I'm going to Africa. I'm going to spend the rest of my days helping in Liberia. Anyone would like to do that? Please come and see me. You must focus your attention toward it. It's not just going to happen. It's not just going to be like, you know, like Dr. Spock, beam me up right now. It's not that way. Do not be derailed. Borders and boundaries in your life are so important. There are so many things that can distract us. I heard about a situation that happened just about a year ago where a personal friend of a friend of mine was actually on Facebook, and a message came up of an old flame. Now, this guy's been married for 28 years. An old school flame. And she said to him, "Would you like to meet up?" And he said that he kept his finger on that button for about an hour before he went, "Let's do it." And that distraction caused him his marriage, caused him his kids to no longer associate with him, just because he was distracted by the one thing. How important is it to actually stay focused and have friends around us that help us stay on the one thing? Having boundaries and living a principled life is such an important area of our lives. We do all, as Barnabas said, like Acts, to keep us from derailing, that the prize requires for us to have boundaries. Turn to your neighbour and say, keep good boundaries. Look after your emotional health. Look after your physical health, your mental health, and our spiritual well-being. The definition of the word distraction is a thing that prevents someone from concentrating on something else. Another definition is extreme agitation of mind. We are to chase the one thing that has high value in life, helps us toward the goal. And it's Jesus, and Jesus says it's a narrow road. But who knows that the narrow road is worth focusing on and worth achieving? So we know it's easy to be distracted, but can we at C3 Fremantle, can we determine to stay on the narrow road together? And so you may think to yourself, I can get away with that thing. And you may for a while. Who knows that God's an incredibly gracious God? But those things always have a way of catching up with us. And the truth is that thing you're doing, it lives inside of you. It never leaves you until it comes out in the open and it's confessed and is repented. And one of the reasons for the one thing that Paul is talking about is that he understands that Jesus actually makes the difference. He was totally distracted until he actually had an encounter with God on the road to Damascus, and he realized that the things he was distracted with were not the right things, they were the wrong things. But now that he knew Jesus, and this is why he can preach the way he preaches, is that now that I know the one thing to be true in my life, now that I know that I have an upward call towards heaven, now that I know that I shouldn't be killing Christians, I should be championing their cause, that I know that this one thing, regardless of what is going on in this world, regardless of the fears that I may feel, I know that Jesus is the one thing. And as I stick with the one thing, there is no fear that will overtake me. There is no pain that is too great, because I am looking forward to the upward call of God on my life. Can we stand to our feet, church? Oh my God. Oh my God. Come on, can we raise our hands? You know, the way this happens is because, let's just lift our hands out to God for a moment. You have to live a principled life. Can we pray this together? Dear Lord Jesus, help me to live a principled life, not a life of feelings, but those things that are according to your word. The values of your word. I uphold them today. I thank you, Lord, for the local church. I thank you that I am an integral part of it. That I will grow into my best person I can be through a relationship with Jesus and those around me. Thank you, Lord, that I have purpose beyond my work, beyond my play. I have a purpose of the upward call of God on my life, and I will move toward it in Jesus' name. And those distractions will not affect me. I will stay on the course, the Jesus course, in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said,